It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are joined in the studio by a panel of local law enforcement officials. On this weekend show, we're joined by Tuolumne County Sheriff Bill Pooley. We also have Captain David Vasquez with the Sheriff's Office, who oversees professional standards and criminal investigations, and Ashley Bujikian, who is a public information officer with the Sheriff's Office and an administrative investigator. She's also a former school resource officer. So first off, thank you all for coming in today.
BJ, thanks for having us here.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about youth issues, and specifically when it comes to internet and phone use and social media and some of the concerns regarding how these things are being used in the community to impact local youths, and when it comes from a law enforcement perspective. And we're going to hear about observations made at the local level. I'll start first with Sheriff Pooley. If you can kind of just kind of set the stage and some of the concerns that you're seeing in the community.
Well, first and foremost, this recent year we had the Pacheco case where the individual reached out to 60 to 100 of our local children, solicited them to purchase drugs. There was sex involved and things like that. And I think what I really want the public to know is this happens in our community, and we need to be aware, and we really need to protect our children. And that comes to the parents knowing how to operate social media, paying attention to what's going on in their lives. And, you know, both Captain Vasquez and Ashley here both know work these cases and really have some great details. And so I wanted them to be here to speak. They're our resident experts.
Well, go over to Captain Vasquez. You know, what kind of observations are you making on this topic?
Thank you for the introduction, Sheriff. BJ, thanks for having me, having us. First, I think it's important that I highlight the Investigations Division and the work that they've done. They have been working so hard on cases like this, and they're very, very taxing. But to highlight and come back to what you're asking as to what we're seeing is, we're seeing the trends of how the electronic devices and social media becomes a window of opportunity and almost the conduit of how children and youth are being targeted for the crimes that the sheriff was talking about and referenced. So we're seeing that this starts at different levels with different age groups, from games that might seem completely innocent to the untrained eye, and in some cases they are, but then there's other features that allow different forms of communication that are associated with those applications and with those games, and that's where the communication begins. And we see that stemming through all times of crimes. And I know that Investigator Bujikian has seen and also communicated with lots of children in our community as to what that looks like through these apps.
Investigator Bujikian, anything to add on that topic?
Yeah, so to kind of piggyback on what Captain Vasquez was saying, pretty much anything where there's an app or platform that has the option of communication with strangers from anywhere, that's going to be an app or a platform that you need to be paying attention to, because the trend is that the criminals who are targeting the kids know that those platforms give them access to potential victims.
As someone with children myself, young children, I know they're always looking and asking about different games. What's your advice to parents when it comes to letting your children be involved with different games?
Teaching them how to look for those red flags and how to communicate on the internet where they know not to just trust people that they meet. They know that somebody can impersonate somebody else. So some of the things that we see is adults who will pretend to be kids in order to get those kids to trust them and form that relationship and friendship over the internet. So just kids knowing that if I don't know who this person is, I shouldn't trust them right off the bat. And parents just paying attention to who their kids are communicating with and what those people are asking them to do in those communications.
I imagine there's no way to tell if it's an adult hiding behind a children's face that's been plastered on the internet.
Correct, but the red flags are going to be the type of communication that they're having. And for an adult, it's going to be pretty easy to discern. For a child, you know, they think they made a friend or some kind of emotional connection.
That's a good point that Ashley brings up, Investigator Bujikian brings up. One of the things I think we find is a big trend, BJ, that helps us combat this is the relationship that the parents have with the children as well, and building that strong trusting bond where the child feels safe coming with information and reporting things that they're seeing, or even taking other actions associated with smart limit plans. And now for people that don't know what that is, there's plans that you can do through phone companies and also through iPad, other types of devices that are mobile that are capable of transferring information, where the parents can check and see, you know, what age level or even set limits to what age level content they want for their children, and also check in on the type of information that's being shared. And I know that there's a lot of discussion about, you know, trust, but in some cases, at different ages, our children are smart, but sometimes they don't always have the wisdom to understand and see things the way we would as adults and as parents. And I know personally for me, I have children as well, and those types of smart limits are in place so we can detect those red flags for our children as well.
You know, roughly how early would you say that these type of crimes and type of predators, you know, look for kids? Like, what type of age groups?
You know, I would say, I'm going to say all ages. I think that in today's lifestyle and society, I think it's typical to see children as young as 6 and 8 with certain devices, or even using them in the schools, whether it's a Chromebook. I know that technology is very introduced at a very early age in today's society, and for good reason. But at the same time, it still has that window of opportunity for that type of interaction.
So besides games, are there other kind of platforms and things that you're finding challenges and issues with children?
Yeah, so TikTok is one of the big ones. That one, you know, because you can talk to complete strangers. Your videos go out to anybody who has the app anywhere in the world. That's one of the platforms we see a lot of bullying and targeting of kids. You also have Snapchat. That's going to be another one that a lot of the kids use to communicate. The messages disappear, so that's why they like to use it. And as far as the drug sales, that was where Pacheco was contacting most kids, was over Snapchat and Instagram. So they like it because the messages disappear. They can advertise the drugs or whatever they're doing, and then it disappears, or whatever request they make to the child disappears. And that's why they like using those apps. So those are some of the big ones I've seen.
I'm sure there's probably a lot of parents who maybe have children who have TikTok or Snapchat or whatever it may be, and they say, oh, I'm sure my kids are fine. Can you explain a little bit more just about like red flags, or just like things that maybe might not be on the surface that you should look for?
I think one specifically, and Ashley brought up a good point with the TikTok and Snapchat, is sometimes you see these challenges that come out, and they're called either a TikTok challenge or a Snapchat challenge, and maybe there's it's basically encouraging poor decision making. I know that there was one that came out probably a couple of months ago that was basically challenging any and all people who received the challenge to do some type of graffiti, whether it was on a school campus or a building, and you basically take a video of yourself participating in the challenge, quote unquote, and then post it again. And it's, you know, that's how things go viral. And so we do get information like that. And I think that making people aware is very important. It's a multifaceted approach with communicating with the schools, which I think we're doing a pretty good job of, and getting the information out to the parents so they can have those conversations. And I think that one of the things we see the disconnect is sometimes kids feel parents don't understand. So it's important for the parents to stay educated and take in this information, so when they have that conversations, or when they have those conversations with their children, they can feel that it's a mutual exchange, and maybe mom and dad or whoever knows what's going on. Maybe they can relate. Maybe they do understand what's going on. I think that just helps identify the red flags, and also help the kids navigate what it is that they're dealing with. Because like I said, smart kids, but sometimes they don't always have all the wisdom as the adults. So it's
yeah, I know a lot of adults who have been scammed on the internet. Probably a lot of people listening to the show, I imagine kids are just even more susceptible.
I think there is a heightened sense of vulnerability. Definitely. We see scams at all ages, and Investigator Bajikian has investigated some of those scams as well. I've reviewed those reports. And it's tailored. They're tailored from children to the elderly, to anybody that has that vulnerable, the member of the vulnerable population. They're all essentially targets. And Investigator Bajikian and the sheriff brought up David Pacheco. Make no mistake about it, that man was an absolute predator who created an entire network of soliciting drugs and exploiting children in this community, and it was all facilitated by social media. And so that's exactly, you know, the perfect example of why we want to be engaged and have that relationship.
Sheriff Poulet, would you like to add anything on that topic?
Yeah, just prior to coming on air, Investigator Bajikian, you were telling us about how they build these relationships and get little bits of information. They ask for a picture. You want to talk about that and kind of explain how that happens, how it grows?
Yeah, so kind of the trend that I see when I investigate these cases is the child will explain to me how they met this person over the internet, and they didn't know them before, right? So that's a red flag, meeting somebody that you don't actually know in real life and none of your friends know them also. So I always tell kids that's a huge red flag. And they form a relationship, take interest in their life. I would say it's actually a red flag that they take so much interest in this person's life, right? So I always used to tell kids that it is a red flag when somebody meets you over the internet and you're suddenly the most amazing person in the world to them and all they want to do is talk to you. That should be a red flag to you, right? Obviously not 100% of the time is this going to be a scam, but a lot of the times it is. And when we do get the scams, that's the pattern that we see. So they form this relationship, they end up turning it into an emotional relationship, and once they've formed that emotional bond, it becomes really difficult for the victim to say no to them, right? So they might ask for a picture or some private information, and then once they have that information, I've seen multiple times where they turn the tables on the victim and then say, if you do not do this for me, I'm going to release this information. And then you end up with basically a case of extortion where they're saying, you need to do this or I'm going to release your information. And I've had them ask for all sorts of things, from additional pictures to credit card information to all sorts of stuff. So,
and as you say, this isn't just a national thing. This is something happening locally in Tuolumne County that you found.
Yes. Every single year, cases involving child sex crimes and crimes that stemmed from a suspect meeting a victim over social media were my most common case.
Need to take a quick break, talking about an important conversation on this weekend's Motherlode Views. It involves youth in the community and issues around social media, internet, phones, etc. We're joined on the program by Ashley Bajikian, who is a public information officer and administrative investigator with the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office. She's also a former school resource officer. We also have Captain David Vasquez, who oversees the professional standards and criminal investigations for the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office, as well as Sheriff Bill Pooley, who's on the panel here this morning. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute.